action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The dust is starting to settle on today's action then. Let me run you through the full-time scores. But don't forget, this is your chance to have your say on a Saturday evening. It doesn't matter if there was no top flight. We are still here and still want to hear from you. What did you make of the Scotland performance and result last night? Who was good? Who was not? Who's definitely off to the Euros? Who's still got work to do? Who shouldn't be there at all? What was good about the overall performance? How worrying was the four goals conceded? Let us know right now on 01419511025. Of course, it is Saturday evening, so if you want to look back on today's football, you can do. Dundee United fans, any out there that are willing to phone and tell us what exactly is going on? Why are you making such heavy weather of this title charge? Partick Thistle fans, you'll be happy with the win up at Arbroath. Morton fans, it's been a tough run for you after a very good run, so if there's something from today, pick up the phone and let us know. Speaking of which, the scorelines from this afternoon: the Championship, Arbroath 0, Partick Thistle 1, Ayr United 1, Queen's Park 2, Dundee United 1, Inverness Cally Thistle 1, and Morton 0, Dunfermline 1. Into League 1 then, it's Alloa 0, Queen of the South 2, Annan 3, Kelty Hearts 2, Cove Rangers 1, Hamilton Accies 3, Falkirk 4, Edinburgh City 1, and Stirling Albion 1, Montrose 0. In League 2, Clyde 0, Spartans 0, Dumbarton 2, Bonnie Rigg Rose 0, East Fife 2, Stranraer 1, Elgin City 1, Forfar 1, and Stenhousemuir 0, Peterhead 0. So give us a call, 01419511025. Does any of that tickle your fancy from today, or is it all about last night? I've seen social media. I know there are a lot of opinions about the performance and result in the Netherlands. So come on, call us just now if you can, please, on the usual number. Interesting day today though, Hugh.
Oh, Dundee United, what are they all about? They've missed the opportunity to stretch the lead. They're 1 point in front of Raith Rovers. The sides meet next week. A win for Raith Rovers next week would put them 2 points above Dundee United with a game in hand. That would be a fairly calamitous turn of events for Jim Goodwin and all at Tannadice. They are making heavy weather of it and then some.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 30 games into the season, they're sitting 59 points, but within those 30 games, 31 points left behind, and that is the problem for Jim Goodwin's side. Drawn 8, lost 5, and a lot of those games, of course, you would expect them to win, but they got themselves back in the game with an unbelievable goal that will be up there for goal of the season to sit ahead of Raith Rovers, who will have every intention of catching them. And then in that middle section of the table, so much movement in the Championship today with Queen's Park and Dunfermline as well. And for my employers, a great result. Although they were playing against Arbroath at the bottom of the table, you still need to go up there and win. So great 3 points for Chris Doolan.
I told you at 2 o'clock, it's an exciting league up and down. Look at the, you know, you're talking about Dundee United, talking about Raith, it's exciting. Who's going to be in that top four? Dunfermline. I had them gone about 4 or 5 weeks ago. All of a sudden, they are really looking up the way. Great result for Inverness today. I think if you'd have said to Duncan Ferguson, I'll give you a point, he would have taken that. Especially Queen's Park winning brings Mull Club Ayr United right into the problem area. Still a lot of good football to be played.
Come on then, 01419511025. There's not much doing the rounds through a Premiership lens, but maybe you Rangers fans would want to get in touch about the news that Ridvan Yilmaz has been sent home from the Turkey squad injured. How much of a concern is that for you with some massive domestic fixtures coming up? Do let us know, 01419511025. Let's start with last night. It seems like the obvious place. Whilst you get your calls in, let's start hearing from some of the main characters, if you like. Stevie Clark speaking to Viaplay afterwards.
I created a lot of chances, not clinical enough. Then obviously the game runs away at the end. It's you can't make it any better. It's a 4-0 scoreline. It feels painful, and it should feel painful. What we have to do is we have to learn from it. But sometimes the lessons you learn are painful, and this was painful tonight.
I'm going to try really hard to like clutch at straws here. You're doing it knowingly though, right? I know that I'm not being completely serious with it. I wonder though, if you have a night like that where there is a lot of good stuff, so it's not like complete doom and gloom, no one's thinking that it's a disaster, but you also got a big kick up the backside at the same time. Yeah. I wonder if in time that can be a, I was going to say a beneficial experience. Right? I know you would rather win the game. I know you would rather, but do you see what I mean? Where there was good stuff there, so you're not completely disheartened, but also it might give everybody a real shock to get even better.
I think there's a painful reality in there, and the painful reality is that when we play top notch, England, Spain, France, Holland, we can be shown to be out of our depth. We are good at where we are. In international terms, we are mid-table. But when we come up against the top guys, we're not at the races.
But this is the point. Did last night not at least feel different to that? England, in bits of the first half at Hampden, gave us a real good going over. Uh-huh. France, although we took the lead, at one point you're like, right, please stop doing this to us. It wasn't, I'm a bit uncomfortable with the way they're all being lumped together as if they were all the exact same. And well, then it conveniently misses Spain out as well.
I think in order to play devil's advocate to your argument, it was four, but don't forget, while we missed chances, so did Holland, and it could have been worse than four.
Sure, but that's not what I'm debating. I'm wondering if it's fair or accurate to lump it in with France and England, when it was nowhere near as much of a mismatch as those.
I think, you know, again, to relate to club football, it doesn't matter whether you're playing Livy or Rangers. You know, if they beat you 4-0, they beat you 4-0. You have to look to yourself. I think Stevie Clark was honest there when he said, not clinical enough, we understand that. And it was a painful night in some respects, and that would be with particular regard to the defensive work. As I said at the very start, there is no upside to a 4-0.
But the only thing I would disagree a little bit, you're right, there's, you get beat 4-0, everybody thinks, oh, that's a going over. But you're talking about a top class side here, right? Uh-huh. No doubt, and you'll agree with that, with top class international defenders that play at the highest level and probably one of the best centre halves in Europe. And Scotland, and I agree with you, I think the Dutch could have scored a lot more, but Scotland could have scored 3-4 goals last night. So I look at that, see if we get beat 4-0 and we play okay, but we're thinking, we've not even created a chance against this side. Look at the quality. We've created chances after chances against a top quality defence and midfield.
Yeah, because it's not often, Mark, if we're talking about having to step up and play these sides, but yet the main criticism from Steve Clark, which you agrees with, is that we weren't clinical. Often when we've played these sides, clinical isn't coming into it.
Nothing happens because, you know, we get absolutely battered. We don't have any possession of the ball. We don't create anything. That's why I looked past the scoreline last night. 4-0, yeah, it doesn't look good. But you've got to analyse what happened within the game, especially in friendlies where you're preparing for the big occasion.
Can you look totally past it though? Because that's where I would meet you in the middle.
I would see, for me last night, it depends the timing of the goals. Somebody touched on it earlier. Was it Roger touched on it earlier? The substitution.
Fraser, I think.
Fraser has a huge impact. You can't look beyond that. You just can't, and it has an impact on the game. So for the 70 minutes that Scotland were there and competing and creating chances was good, because that should resemble something like the finished article that we hope, because into the Germany game, the team that finished and the chances that come from that, and you always disrupt the flow of your team when you're making so many changes, we hope won't resemble what happens in Germany. So a lot of that good stuff, possession based stuff, is stuff that we haven't seen in the last decade or so. So I think it puts us in a totally different place from where we've been. And again, lots of optimism.
Let's bring in Jeff on the line. What did you take away from it, Jeff?
I thought, first of all, it was a strange team that he picked. I thought he might have picked some of the regulars, but it's nice to see him pick some of the French players. I thought the game was very good last night. We seem to have played very well in the first half hour. Shankland had two good shots at goal. The Dutch goalkeeper, two great saves. I'm not one for friendlies prior to a championship, because if you get an injury, that's you out. That's you out of the squad. But I took a lot out of that last night, and that is the best ever Scotland team that I've seen play for over a decade. I mean, the players want to play for the shirt. Stevie Clark has got a lot of respect for the players. I think Germany are not great starters in championships, World Cups. They're very slow starters. But I think if the German manager was in Holland last night, I think he might not take Scotland for granted.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point, that last one, Mark, because of the way football managers and players, if I've mentioned it, if Virgil van Dijk's sitting after the game and saying publicly that that wasn't a 4-0, and if Ronald Koeman's doing something similar, you'd like, well, maybe it doesn't matter because hopefully they do underestimate us, but probably the Germany manager's not exactly going, 4-0, this'll, you know, he'll have at least seen what Scotland are capable of up to a point.
Well, yeah, of course,
imagine.
We're not a long ball team anymore. You know, we don't give up possession easily. We don't rely on just our front men to run the channels. A lot of what Steve Clark's doing, because of the personnel he's got within that midfield, is possession based. So Germany will be well aware of that. Will they find it easier to play against? No, definitely not. So they understand who are the danger men for Scotland, because they're in the public eye as well. A lot of them play in the Premier League, so in England they're well known, so Germany will be prepared. And you just wonder if Steve Clark, I think the front man becomes so important then, because I'm saying we're not a long ball team, but if Lyndon Dykes is there and you replicate something like you did against Spain at home, then it is a slightly different way of playing. It's a good way of playing, because there's a mix and match here. You've got a midfield that can control possession when needed, but you've got that target man up front. Lauren Shankland, I don't think will be that target man, but he needs creativity round about him, whether Dykes brings in others. So that's where we've got a wee change in our plan, if possible. But we won't be taken lightly. No way.
But then, is there a fragility there that Germany and our other Euro opponents would say, oh, by the way, you know, if you get a goal against this lot or get a second, they'll fall apart?
No, I don't think they'll be saying that. And the reason I'm saying that is because you look at the first goal. First goal is a wonder goal, right? Terrific strike. I know that if you're Scotland, you could probably say, can we close it down? Can we do better? Of course, every team does that. But that's a strike. I don't think many goalkeepers are saving that, in my opinion. I thought we played some terrific passing and moving last night, especially in the first half, getting down the left-hand side, Patterson trying to get down the right. I thought the quality into the box wasn't that great. But you've got to understand that we changed. We played with the three and the two wing-backs. We changed the right one. We changed Billy Gilmore, who was controlling the ball for us. We changed, obviously, Suter coming on as well for Tierney, who is a massive player. It doesn't look good for, but I've got to say, I think there's more positives to take out of that. And I agree, if I was going and playing Germany tomorrow, I think it's a straight situation between Adams and Dykes, and the way our midfield play and can play, changing it by passing and moving, taking in pressure situations now because they're so confident, I would go with Dykes and go and play in such a way that would cause Germany problems, because I think Scotland can do that in competition.
Who impressed you last night, Jeff?
Well, obviously Shankland with his two chances. Tierney coming back into the Scotland squad, I thought he played very well. I think they all played very well. And I hope on Tuesday, when I go to the game, we might see some more changes to let some of the others get a game, and that'll give the manager a better look at all the players.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to see what happens thereafter. Look, we can go through it almost one by one. Maybe someone who has been overlooked a bit last night, from last night, Mark, was Kieran Tierney. You just almost, the level that he's set and the difference he makes to the Scotland back line.
Oh, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And we've got some good players in that position, natural centre backs who can play there. But I just think the balance, the dynamic between him and Robertson, just that drive, you know, that he gives from behind Robertson is crucial to how we play. And as a 1v1 defender, there's very few that's as good as him. How, you know, the power he's got in his legs, that low centre of gravity, when a winger or a forward faces him up, you have every confidence that Tierney's going to mark him, or match him, should I say. If you've got centre half in there, maybe less mobile, and maybe gets done on the outside, you don't get that from Tierney. Plus you get the benefit of him going forward. So he's a huge player for Scotland. Fair play to Steve Clarke for changing the system and getting it to him. And I know we keep saying that, but that's a difficult decision to make, you know, because it's two players within your full squad. And do you sacrifice your shape, what you believe in, to fit these two in? Well, obviously you do.
See, I think everybody knows that John Souter is a very good player, right? I think this is where the problem lies for John Souter. I know he came in for a lot of criticism last night when he came on, right? And it's easy just to point the finger at Souter. He didn't have his best moments in a Scotland jersey. But John Souter plays in a back four every single week with Rangers. And he comes into a back three, and I think he got caught a few times, right? Now, I don't know if Steve Clarke will look at that situation and say, do you know what? I like Souter. I think he's a good player, but I don't play with a back four. I play with a three, and that's what could probably swing it against John Souter just now for me.
Porteous, does he? I genuinely don't know, but he might play in a back four at club level. Yeah, but Jack Hendry.
But some people, and Marco Terry, because Mark's played right back, left back, some people can fit into a system. I think Souter, to me, is an out and out back four. Golson and him, two centre halves, know their jobs, know where everybody should be. But the minute you get into a back three, sometimes you will leave that responsibility to someone else, because you think, well, we've got three defenders in here, the middle one will go and pick it up. And I think that's where Souter got.
You know more about the mechanics of it, Mark. In theory though, it feels like people hoped John Souter would, because of the skill set, because he is so comfortable on the ball. So the thought being, you could play on one of those sides and step in and play passes. That's meant to be what his skill set is.
Yeah, and he certainly got that in his locker. But he's certainly not a fullback. And I just think the way the game's going just now, and teams who are lining up with a back three, it's more suited to
guys
almost
to
a fullback playing on the outside of a back three.
Porteous isn't, though.
No, he's not, but he's got pace. And, you know, he can certainly get out of trouble when it's needed. But I think Tierney has just kind of made that position his own. I don't think Souter's going to challenge him.
Thank you to Jeff on 01419511025. What are you making of what you're hearing? Are you shouting in agreement or disagreement with these three? Now's a good time to tell us. Pick up that phone.
In Glasgow and the West, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans are here, and they're waiting patiently for you to get in touch. So let's hear from you then on 01419511025. What did you make of the game last night? Were there enough positives? Is it all about that 4-0 defeat? What did you take away from it? Who was good and who was bad? And how does it leave everyone ahead of the Euros? Let us know your thoughts on 01419511025. If you'd rather look back on today's lower league football, we are here for you. And in terms of the title race or the Premiership, the only real news today, Rangers fans, is that Ridvan Yilmaz has pulled out of the Turkey squad injured. How much of a concern is that with big games in the top flight just around the corner? Give us a call, please. Let's hear a bit more reaction to the game in Amsterdam. This was Stevie Clarke again speaking to Viaplay.
Now, we know the players are committed, and the players should be disappointed because they put so much into the game, and to come out on the wrong end of a 4-0 scoreline is harsh, but it's also reality. So you can say it's harsh because we weren't clinical enough. You can say it's harsh because we didn't defend well enough on the second, third and fourth goals. But the reality is, it was a harsh night, and we have to learn from that. We have to do better. We have to understand that the game shouldn't run away from us. When it goes 2-0, we have to be more professional, stay in the game a little bit longer and try and creep our way back into the game at 2-1. You can't go gung-ho and open the pitch up, because as soon as the pitch opened up, the Netherlands looked dangerous every time they went forward.
I'm always wary of these sweeping generalisations and acting like you can only be one thing, but go anyway. Is there a danger that in all the praise that you're giving Scotland for being so much better on the ball now than they were and all that stuff, getting away from just being that kind of harder to beat? And you see there are a lot of so-called smaller nations who have a level of success by being a bit bit more difficult to break down.
And it's a difficult trade-off, isn't it? Because for so many years we've probably had that, you know, played quite a, you know, the old low block and being frustrating to play against and all that. And it's, we always complain, we've not got much of the ball, we don't create any chances. So it's a hard balance to get right. But Stevie Clark has certainly shifted the mindset, because I'm listening to him there and I'm listening to Andy Robertson and the other interviews after that, Andy Robertson saying it was embarrassing and things. So they'll know themselves within the game. They will know that they did well up to a certain level. But I think they're just reminding everybody of how far they've come and the standards that they set themselves. And Stevie Clark's right to say that they can't go gung-ho and open up the pitch and lose goal and be more professional. He says there, that's the level we're at. You know, back-to-back Euro qualification shows you the level he's taking us to, and having that mindset is key. And I'm sure he would have drummed that into his players right after the game. That's why they're all aligned with, you know, their post-match press conferences.
Well, let's see what Nadeem made of it. Take it away, Nadeem.
How you doing, Gordon? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I think so I'm going to Euros in the summer. I'm going to all three games. And if you had given me that performance in any of the three games of the Euros, I would have bitten your hand off, especially for the first 70 minutes. I thought we were brilliant. I know you was a bit doom and gloom about the 4-0 scoreline. And I get that, you know, it's not great when you look at it on paper, but you've got to look past the scoreline. Look at the individual performances. You know, Billy Gilmore, for me, was the best player in the park for the first hour of the game. That's including the Dutch players. I thought he controlled the midfield. He was absolutely outstanding. I thought Parson, for not playing a lot of Everton, I thought he was brilliant as well on the right-hand side. So if you take that performance and take that into the Euros and just tighten up at the back a bit, and bear in mind, they scored most of their goals after we'd made quite a few subs. So you lose that kind of fluidity in the team when you start making so many subs. So give me that performance in the Euros, I'll take it all day long, Gordon.
I understand that Nadeem's enthusiasm. He's booked up for Germany. He's good to go. However, he says you can look beyond the scoreline. No, you can't. Not in any game of football. And he also says for the first 70 minutes, well, the game lasts 90. And all the games in Germany will last 90. And it's not doom and gloom. It's what Steve Clark calls what's harsh and what's reality. All right, the four may have been harsh given the chances we had and spurned. But the reality is that we were good enough at the back, and in a very short space of time, we conceded three goals that might have been avoided. So you can't look beyond the scoreline. You have to assess it, good and bad, and you can't restrict your opinion to the first 70 minutes. The whole 90 minutes have to be considered.
Sure, it's a friendly, but that's why I'm saying you've got to look past the result. It's a, see if I was a competitive game, Euros, I agree with you. You've got to get the scorelines is the most important thing, absolutely. But that's a friendly, so you've got to look past that. You're right, the game lasts 90 minutes. That's what I'm saying. After we start to make those subs, that's when we start to lose a bit of the game and the goals start to happen. So I agree with you there. But I absolutely don't agree with you in fact that it's doom and gloom now because it's a 4-0 scoring.
You keep associating me with doom and gloom.
He just knows you well.
I still think that Scotland will go there and have an outstanding chance of qualification from the group for the first time in history. But yes, it was a friendly arranged with a purpose in mind, as the Northern Ireland game has a purpose in mind. So there were parts of the display last night that were more than acceptable, and there were parts that were in dire need of attention.
It's just the scale of it, Gordon. Because we had this, we had the discussion before the game. Obviously, Hugh and I were on last night, and I presented the argument that Stevie Clark possibly, not sure, possibly would rather play really well and lose 1-0 rather than play terrible and the Netherlands score an own goal and you win 1-0. In terms of preparing for a tournament, knowing where you're really at, I think he would have prioritised the performance to that level. But once it gets to four, I don't know where the balance lies.
Well, what we've got to look at is, you're right, we're preparing for a massive tournament, right? We played a couple of guys last night that we were all shouting about, for Linston, Shanklin, we wanted him in to go and play. So we get beat 4-0. There's a lot of positives. And the one thing I liked about Stevie Clark, and Mark picked it up there, he's said to his players, look, if we play Germany in an open game here and we lose the first goal, we cannot just go gung-ho and think we need to try, because all of a sudden the game will be away. So I think they've learned a big, big lesson last night in Amsterdam, right? I really do, and I think Stevie Clark is a very experienced, very good coach that will sit down there and he'll drum that into them. This is how we've got to be disciplined. So we can take a lot of positives. I think everyone will agree. I loved that game last night. Didn't like the four goals, but I loved the game last night. And I keep going back to it. They've got world-class players that we created chance after chance. And I do take on Hugh's point. At the end, they could have scored a lot more. It could have been a lot worse. But I am not getting too downbeat about this. I just think it's a we're preparing for a tournament.
Nadine, what did you make of Lawrence Shankland?
Yeah, I felt a bit disappointed for him, if I'm honest, because he had a couple of chances where he's through one with the goalkeeper, you know, every day of the week in the Premiership, he scores that. So I felt a bit sorry for him a little bit, if I'm honest. But you know, that's just the way I suppose it goes. You know, he's had his chance. Well, not he's had his chance. He's had that chance, and he didn't quite take it. So, but hopefully he'll get. Hopefully he gets another chance on Tuesday to get a hand, and hopefully he gets a chance there to then show what he can do further. Because like, he needs a good run of maybe two or three games to show that, and hopefully then be on the plane to Germany.
I mean, Gordon, I know why people use that phrase, because he seems so deadly. The harsh reality is Lauren Shanklin does miss chances for Hearts.
I hate that phrase, Gordon. I hate it.
I get where it comes from. I think it's fairly innocently said.
Yeah, I don't think Nadine's the only one that's probably said it. I said it at the start of the show. Forget that about, oh, if that was Hearts, he would have put the ball in the back of the net. Lauren Shanklin missed three penalties. So it tells you Lauren Shanklin is like every other striker, can miss chances. I've got to be honest with you, I thought he was very unlucky, right? He hits the bar with it, he gets his shell in a great...
It's not unlucky though, is it, in that respect? Where does luck come into
it? Well, I just think that it was one of those ones that if it was for him, it could have clipped the bar, went in the back and he'd have been a hero. What my main point is, you can't just judge him. Everybody's looking at that last night. It was black and white, right? If he scores, then he's a starter against Germany.
But if he doesn't score,
oh no, right, okay, we've given Shank. Lawrence Shank's a terrific player. I don't think he'll start in the first game, and I wouldn't start him. But I'll tell you what I would certainly do. I'd have him on the bench because he can come on and get you a winner.
Well, there's a long time to go between now and June, and who knows what happens to Adams and Dykes within that period, but there is no harm and playing Shanklin last night. And you know what, he can hold his head high the season that he's had, and yes, he'll probably replay that chance over his head again and again and again until he gets his next one for Scotland, which I hope is on Tuesday night. And I hope he scores, because that's what he needs. He needs to feel like part of the squad. And Daz will tell you, goal scorers only really feel part of the squad when they're scoring goals.
But it's not like he's looking for his first goal, man.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? See, if you're a striker looking for your first goal.
He scored a couple of games ago.
Exactly, this is what I'm saying.
I think with a hype round about him, and now this argument that's formed, and loads of people in his corner saying he should start, you'll know better than most, nothing better for him than to go and score pretty quickly and say, yeah, you're right to back me. Now, I agree, it's a good argument or a good headache for Steve Clark to have. I would side with Daz though, the way it's looking just now. It does look like it will be a Dykes, but Shanklin will be there and thereabouts and could be an impact.
I think Tuesday's intriguing because it's a whole different set of criteria.
Yeah.
You're at home, you're playing a team, if we are talking about France, Holland, England, Spain being ahead of us, we cannot consider Northern Ireland to be in any way, shape or form ahead of us. So with the players we have, and I do expect Gordon to be in goal, I do expect Dykes to play, Shanklin to be on the bench, come on and revert to the role that everyone thinks he's cut out for at international level, the impact sub. Different set of criteria. The performance, we've gone six with no wins. It can't go seven. Purely and simply for your own self-esteem as you head towards this tournament. Tuesday night is a different test altogether, and it's one that we have to pass and pass well.
Nadim, there is maybe just a, there's not loads of debate, but when you look at the midfield options, there was a strong midfield last night, but Lewis Ferguson didn't start and Callum McGregor's not in the squad. But it sounds like you certainly feel that, that Billy Gilmour simply has to play going forward.
Absolutely, Gordon. I think I mean, there's nothing wrong with maybe starting Lewis Ferguson on Tuesday night, you know, give him a chance. I think he deserves a chance. He's done really well in Serie A. But I think at the Euros, I mean, the midfield probably picks itself, but Billy Gilmour's got to be in there, you know, alongside John McGinn. I think he was outstanding last night. I'm sure he's agreed, you know, in terms of the way he held the ball. I've not seen, I mean, I'm 44. I've not seen a player in the Scotland team for my lifetime that's as comfortable as that on the ball, you know, and the way he can, you know, pick up the ball, he's back, you know, he's back to attackers and be able to manipulate the ball. He's brilliant. I think he's just fantastic. So I think he'll if he's not a starter in the Euros, then there's something
that is
wrong, you know.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, outstanding. And that's the real strong part of our team. There's no doubt about it. And it's such an important part of how we play just now and Scotland's identity. That's why I enjoy watching Scotland now, because that's the way they play. Now, of course, if they don't get results and it goes 7 and 8 and 9, then maybe that would change a bit. But the fact is, we've changed our style because we've got the players to do it and we're getting results when it matters, and I just hope it reverts back to that when it comes tournament time. But I believe if you stick to your plan and you're brave enough, like Steve Clarke has been in the big games, then you will get your just deserves.
I think the midfield will pick itself if everybody's fit. But here flips the question about you judge people on last night. Now the four will be McGregor, Gilmour, McGinn and McTominay. I think we'd all agree with that, right? How good was Ryan Christie when he was played last night? So we're no shouting, well, Ryan Christie was terrific last night. Who does he replace? So that's what I'm saying to you. So you can't do it with Shanklin. You can't do it with others and go, well, he didn't play particularly well last night, and judge it in one game. But I just think, I think it was a learning curve, and I like the way Steve Clarke came out and said, I've identified it, I've told the players, when we're at this level, we cannot go open ourselves up and look what happened. So it might be a lesson well learned.
Speaking of those midfielders, let's hear from John McGinn speaking to Viaplay.
Overall, I think we'll look back on it. So much to take for the game, but obviously the scoreline's an embarrassing one for us. We're all experienced players now. We know coming to places like this, it's not really a surprise. We're playing, most of us, in European football. You come up against these sides, and when you get good spells in the game, which we did, we had good chances. Myself, Big Scotty, Christy, Shanks, one of them's got to go in. And then off the back of that, you can see you've played well, you've had chances, all that, but we've got to be more streetwise when it goes to 2-0. Shut up shop a little bit more, be less ambitious, be narrower. And that's the thing that hurts the most.
0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, we would love to have you, and we'll do it next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans in the building, on the usual number or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're talking mostly about the game last night in Amsterdam, but there was a lot of big league action today. Let's hear a bit from John McGlynn, because Falkirk, at one point, were on track to win League One, but Hamilton Accies spoiled it by winning up at Cove. This was just a brief thought on the way the crowd and the Accies game was going.
Yeah, there was a significant difference when it went one each. Yeah, there was. So they made us aware of that, but I wasn't focused on that. But we were focused on what was happening on the park, and we'd done our bit, and that was all we could do.
So that's the reaction from League One. But the Championship, a good win for Partick Thistle up at Arbroath. Chris Doolan speaking now about their promotion hopes after that victory.
Every point's a prisoner, I say that each week just now. Between now and the end of the season, you'll not get a bad point in the Championship. You know, whether it's a draw or a win, you'll always, teams will be scrapping for every point they can get. So to come up here in a day and be lucky enough to get the weather the way it is, and get all 3 points, like I say, it's huge for us. Back-to-back wins, back on track, and a push to the end of the season and try and finish as high up as we possibly can.
Your employer, Mark Wilson, as we said, third place. We've kind of known that for a while. Just kind of moving away, although Airdrie now, two games in hand, I think, with them and SPFL Trust Trophy action tomorrow.
Well, 7 points ahead, and it's not guaranteed. He's right. Any point's a good point in that championship just now, because Thistle were by far and away looked favourites to get into those playoffs. A few bad results and you find yourself in a scrap. So it's an important win today at what could be a difficult venue.
And a big weekend for the club. Tomorrow is the Sky Sports Cup final, Partick Thistle women's first ever final. They're up against Rangers. That's a good story in itself. There's an extra intrigue because of Brian Graham and the dual role that he holds. A very busy man.
Well, he certainly is. I see it firsthand. He's one of the first into the ground in the morning for training, the captain of the team. He trains, and then of course he goes home and he plans his sessions and everything else that goes along with being a manager, to take the training sessions at night. So incredibly difficult. His weekends then, people will think, oh, footballers get the weekend off. Of course not. He's got a game to prepare for on the Sunday, every Sunday. So Brian puts a lot into it, and he's getting his rewards, and it's been a terrific season for them. He's made some difference, by the way, to the team. Massive underdogs tomorrow, playing in a big pitch at Tynecastle. So, you know, it'll be an intriguing game. I wish them all the best.
Yeah, Rangers massive, massive favourites for that one, but we'll wait and see who comes out on top. Derek is, he's a Thistle fan actually as well, right on cue. Derek, are you on about club or country?
Country first.
Go for it.
I'm just wondering about the goalkeeping situation. Mm-hmm. Four goalies in the squad, but only played by Gunn. Why not give one of our keepers a chance second half?
Maybe not in that environment, but I would expect Craig Gordon to start against Northern Ireland. What is the point? These matches are preparatory matches. If you're going to prepare, you better find out what Craig Gordon's like after a long, long time out through injury. He's not the current number one goalkeeper at Hearts, which complicates the situation further. My belief is that Craig Gordon will go because the manager values his experience of these matters. Gunn will of course go, and Xander Clark will be the other goalkeeper, and Liam Kelly unfortunately will be the one who drops out. But on Tuesday, Angus Gunn played last night, and there were good bits and bad bits, like everyone on the park in a Scotland jersey. But now's the time to have a good look at Craig Gordon.
Do you think we'll only see one of them on Tuesday, Derek, or more than one?
I agree with you. As a sincere producer, I would have Craig Gordon as my number one. Experience, he's been there and done it. So I would leave Kelly out, to be fair.
I'll be interested in that on Tuesday. I look at goalkeepers and you're thinking, right, they're in the squad, they want to play, but I think it would be important to let Craig Gordon play the 90 minutes. And the reason I'm going to say that is because Xander Clark's the number one at Hearts, plays week in, week out. Liam Kelly, number one at Mull, playing week in, week out. Craig Gordon's a lot of catching up to do. And if it's in his mind that he's going to take him, right, and I think a lot of people would like that to happen, you may as well get some minutes into him. There's no point just giving them 45 minutes and then taking him off the pitch.
You were campaigning for 45 minutes for each goalie the other night, but you know,
you've changed your goalies to play over the two games.
I'm all for fairness, Mark.
No, look, the guys are right. I mean, Craig Gordon, I'd like to see him given a fair crack at it, but I'll go back to my other point. He needs to then oust Xander Clark at his club, because if he doesn't do that, then I don't think there's any chance of him starting for Scotland. I'll go back to it again. Gunn, I think, has done fine for Scotland, but just fine. I don't think he's been a revelation and he's been outstanding, but he's done fine. I'll agree with everybody. Liam Kelly, I think, will be the unfortunate one to miss out. So it's a position I don't think is nailed on set. Like you would say about, you know, McTominay, McGinn, Gilmore. I still think there is a chance.
So here's a hypothetical for you then. You don't think Craig Gordon can become Scotland number one whilst he's Hearts number two? Yeah, you agree with that?
Yeah.
Can he become Scotland's number two whilst he's Hearts number two?
Yeah.
Is that a very different request?
I think when you take into consideration his experience to have around the squad, he's working every day with Xander Clark, so you could argue that he brings out the best in Xander Clark, that there's this relationship off the pitch. I'm sure the goalkeeping coach would like to have someone who has experience here. That's what he's got over Liam Kelly, and the fact he's an outstanding goalkeeper.
Not even above Liam Kelly. So I suppose what I'm asking is, Xander Clark stays in for Hearts for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. We get to the Euros, it's gone number one, but he gets injured. Do you think Craig Gordon goes in ahead of Xander Clark at that point?
Oh.
Come on.
That's got to be a call. What's happening in training? Surely that's
got,
one
I've,
for
I've
the.
I've got a funny feeling that could be in Stevie Clark's mind.
That's you know, one
if
for
he's
the goal
have
coach,
to, if, he,
yeah.
if it is Angus Gordon who's number one, and he then has to turn to somebody, does he turn to the guy with all those caps?
If it was me, I would. If I saw in training that he was similar to Craig Gordon and he was making outstanding saves, because you get a fair feel for him in small-sided games and goalies' reactions and things, then I would look at that along with his experience of the big occasions.
You taking any heart from last night, Derek, or was the result pretty depressing?
I don't like saying this, but I agreed with you. It's a 90-minute game. We were all right up until 70 minutes, then we just became the Scotland of old. Once that goes in, that's it. We just collapse.
Yeah, it was a pretty rough ending, that's for sure. Thank you to Derek. What about Andy on the line? How are you, Andy?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Not bad. Obviously, what's your take on?
I obviously disappointed, but I think the other boy was on earlier on said, I thought we played some great, great football. And I think, obviously, the subs upset the system. I see if it wasn't a friendly, I don't think Ada made the changes. And I think that's what really killed us. Because we were passing the ball, holding the ball. We looked really good. I was really impressed with Scotland. But when the subs come on, it just seemed to disrupt the whole system.
Yeah, so like the previous caller's last line there was, you know, we were all right for 70 minutes, and but you presumably think we were better than all right in those 70 minutes.
Oh, I mean, I was actually nodding my head going, this is good to watch. I'm actually really impressed with Scotland in a lot of the minutes yesterday. You know, the football they were playing, the holding the ball up, keeping the ball, and
Andy,
yeah, so I'm not too downhearted.
Andy, I guarantee you one thing. When your club side Knicks plays a game and they're one down after 70 minutes and they lose 4-0, you'll go off your head.
Yeah, but nobody's saying that, because it's not a competitive
but
game.
You wouldn't
that's
take
what
off
people are
some
drawing
of your best
the distinction.
Players.
It is, it's undeniably different. How different it is, fine, but it's got to be different because there are consequences to losing competitive games. That's what people mean when they say that.
But the preparatory,
you can't expect
nature,
people to feel the same, though, as they would if that was a league game for their club.
It's Andy's concept that, well, for 70 minutes, it's the same as the other caller. For 70 minutes, oh, wonderful. Yes. Now, you have to examine what went wrong then. And, you know, when John McGinn came on a few minutes ago there and he was talking about it being embarrassing.
The result, he said, was, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and therefore he must mean the way in which goals were lost from 1-0 to 4-0. So I cannot find it in myself.
Here, I'll throw this at you then, right? I'll throw this. If it's 1-0 and we keep all our big hitters on the pitch and it finishes 1-0, we're getting inundated with, why is Lewis Ferguson not in the pitch? Why is John Souter not getting a chance? Why is Ralston in the squad? Why is, Adams not on it instead? So I totally understand what you're saying about the score, but we are building up for a tournament. And people are crying out for Lewis Ferguson. They're crying out for Shanklin. They're crying out. The Rangers fans are saying, John Souter was brilliant against Benfica. Why is he not in the team? Ralston has been in and out of Celtic. He's there as a squad player. He gets an opportunity, puts in a terrific ball like McTominay scored. So you've got to look for the manager's point of view. If he just keeps the same 11 on, he's come in for a lot of criticism.
Let's finish with a merging of international and club football. Andy, I know you're a Rangers fan. How do you receive the news that Ridvan Yilmaz will come back injured?
I was a bit worried about that. I was saying that producer, I just don't know how bad it's going to be, because we got a big push now for the night, well, hopefully 11 games to go. That's a bit of bad news, but hopefully we'll see when he gets back to Glasgow if it's just going to be a short time, because Barisic's, for me, it's no the same. He's not the same.
So, like, as an example, Yilmaz would be nailed on for you to play against Celtic, and let's be honest, that's the fixture that people are thinking about, isn't it?
Aye. I definitely think so. Barisic, he's a good servant, but I think it's time. I think he's going to go anyway. So, yeah, definitely would want Yilmaz back for the games.
Well, there we are. That pretty much brings it to a close. What would you say to sum up today's action that we've seen, Hugh?
I would say of the Championship, Dundee United, what are you doing? This is footering, to use a Scottish word, towards promotion. Not good enough. They've got Raith Rovers next week. They had better not lose that game. With regard to Falkirk, they didn't get the Championship today, but I think if you've been out of the league above for 5 years, the circumstances under which you go back into that league, you can handle what happened today. And even if you win the title at Lynx Park Montrose next week, it will still be sweet.
And Mark, sum up the Scotland picture as well.
Looking optimistic, although a disappointing result last night. I saw it as the equivalent of a pre-season friendly. For 70 minutes, it looks good and much will resemble what they'll face against Germany for the rest of the game. Then I think they can write that off. They'll come back better on Tuesday night and we'll get a result against Northern Ireland.
We will see. Monday night, 6 o'clock, we look back on the weekend's biggest talking points. We reflect again on the Netherlands. We look forward to the game against Northern Ireland. And this is Scottish football. Something else is bound to crop up on Monday, so make sure you join us at 6 o'clock. But in the meantime, stay right there. Enjoy your weekend in the company of the GBX.